today, preacher. The theme of my preaching today is killing the cancer by the root.
Amen.
Is that possible? Yes, it is. Killing the cancer by the root. I have had people come in and ask me so many times, why do you pray the way that you do? I have never heard anybody praying like this. I said, I don't know, but I saw Jesus doing it, and it worked for them, so I do the same way, I guess. There is a reason why we pray and command every disease to be killed by the root. If you notice in our prayers here when we pray for you, many, many, many times when I'm laying hands on people, I command the disease to be killed by the root. And when we are referring to the spirit of sickness, I command the demon of sickness to get out and never to come back again or to come back no more. Y'all remember that? Today, I want to show you where in the Bible this is found, so that next time that you're praying for yourself, or that you pray for someone else, you can use the very same type of prayer, and they work. Let's start by reading Mark 19. We're going to start on verse 17, and we're going to go verse by verse. You know what? Let's get a little holy today. Let's stay on the New King James. Not as holy as the King James, but let's stay with the King James. Let's start on 17. Then we're going to go verse by verse. I want you to pay attention to this scenario here, because there's something to be learned here. And at the end of this, we're going to pray a prayer together. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit." So we understand here that the reason that that child couldn't speak is because that child has a demon. Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 18 says, "And whatever it seizes him, it throws him." It throws him down. The devil will never throw you up. The devil will never want you to be up. The devil will always throw you down. Homosexuality is degradation. And so is lesbianism. And so is murder. And so is physical abuse. And so is molestation. All these things bring people down. Because this is the work of the devil. He was cast down from heaven. And he has an obsession on throwing, especially God's people, down.
Amen.
He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. That shows you that not every disciple of Jesus is able to cast out demons. And there's a reason for that. Oh, they don't have the gift. No. Casting out demons is not a gift. Casting out demons is an assignment that every Bible believer has. When Jesus sent out the 70, two by two, he said, "Get into a town, get into a city, cast out demons, and heal all the sick. And then proclaim, the kingdom of God has arrived." And the way to proclaim the kingdom of God is healing the sick and casting out demon. That's how we proclaim the word of God. We're still together here, right?
Yes.
So when you read Mark, I don't want you to have it now. When you read in Mark 11 that they said, the 70 came back rejoicing. And they said, "Lord, you won't believe it." Yes, I will. Even the demons submit to ourselves when we call your name. You said, duh. Huh, what do you expect? I saw Satan falling from the skies as an angel of light. Nevertheless, don't be excited because demons obey you. That comes without saying. Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Nevertheless, not every preacher or every prayer warrior can cast out demons. Why? He will say down the street, unbelief. Not everybody is willing to believe that they do get power to cast out demons. So when you go to verse 19, Jesus says, he answered him and said, "Or faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." The reason that many preachers can't cast out demons and cannot pray for the healing of other people is because they don't have faith to do that. It's not all the churches, but there are churches out there that become more like a club. You come in and you have a nice worship, and then you have the dancing time, the flipping time, and whatnot, and all the nonsense that has been introduced to the church in these later years. And then everybody after that give their offering. Somebody will come and will go from Genesis to Revelation, back to Genesis, and then they stop in Psalms, go to Mark, back in Hosea, end up in Hebrew, and we don't know what the guy said. Or the gal, for that matter. People that have nothing to give. This is why they are running from one place to the other, and they go through the whole Bible. And because they don't have nothing to say, they know that they're going to preach for 3 hours. And this is why I can't stand it in some churches out there. Nevertheless, Jesus called them faithless generation. Talk is cheap. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Talk is cheap. The church of the living God is supposed to be a place of faith. And we, as servants of the living God, have been given a task. You want to know how nice that task gets? Go to the book of Mark on the last chapter. Start reading verse 15. It says, "I want you boys to go out. Preach the gospel. Proclaim the gospel." That's the word in Greek and in Hebrew. "And everybody who gets saved will be baptized. Or everybody that gets baptized shall be saved. And everybody who does not believe, shall be damned." And then he goes on, "And this sign shall follow people who believe in me." And the very first thing they say, "In my name, they shall kick out demons." And now these fellows are here walking with Jesus, and this unbeliever Pharisee bring his son that is demon possessed, and he knows that the boy has a demon, because muteness is a spirit, according to Jesus here in this case. When the demon get him, throw him on the fire, throw him on the water, throw him down, and he gnashes his teeth and foam come out of his mouth, "But you boys couldn't do nothing for me." Jesus said, "Or faithless generation." It's sad enough that in our days we are not very different from the generation of those days. We want drive-through miracle. If there would be possible to have a drive-through here on the site, somebody would have come through the drive-through in the car. "Can I please get a miracle for my son that is mute?" We pray that son get delivered. They continue to drive and they go away to watch their television. Show them the New Living Translation, this thing here. Watch this. So they brought the boy. I want the other one, the 19. Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" That's a very good translation. And you want to see how messed up it gets? Give me the backslider translation here. Watch this. Jesus said, "What a generation. Nonsense of God. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this?" Bring the boy here. Sickness is a spirit. Whether you like it or not. Whether you agree or not, sickness is a spirit. So you told me that the Christians are demon-possessed. I say that Christians are oppressed If you're still able to come to church and you can read your Bible, so you're not possessed, you're oppressed. When you're oppressed, the demon has partial control of certain parts of your body. When you're possessed, like this boy here, then the demons have the whole control of the body. And that's why the demon threw the boy on the fire, on the water, up and down, because the demon had full control of that boy's body. We're still together, right? Verse 20. Let's go back to the New Living Translation. I mean, the King James. Then they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, immediately, who? Convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So does anybody have a doubt that sickness is a spirit? Can you hear that? Can you see the word spirit here? We're still together, right?
Yes.
Verse 21. Watch this. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. What a misery situation. A parent seeing his child being harassed by a demon, huh? And don't know what to do. Sometimes I often think, have you ever thought about G-O-D? You know, come on. Verse 22. And often he has thrown him both in fire and the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, what a punk. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. What do you mean if you can do anything? Why did you bring him here if you have a doubt that he can do something? But people will come to church just like this man, hoping that maybe, perhaps, peradventure, you know, if the Lord wants, he can heal me. Same situation today. I love the answer that Jesus gives him. Watch this, verse 23. What do you mean if you can't believe? Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. What do you mean if you can? If you can believe that I can do something, all things are possible. The New Living Translation has it very well said. Watch this. What do you mean if I can? Don't you love that? Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. Who am I to judge God? It's not if God can. It's if I believe that God can do it. The ball is not on God's court. It's always on my court. Now the backslider translation have it a little crazy. But watch this. Jesus said, if. There are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. Isn't that something? Let's go to verse 24. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my I know that we don't have this kind of people here, down the street. But how many times you have people coming, they stand on the prayer line, we pray for them, and then they said, well, tomorrow I'm going to go to the doctor just to confirm that I'm healed. What an idiot. Why do you even bother coming to the line? It's the very, 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 very thing. He said, he cried out with tears, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. How could you believe and now you ask, help me with my unbelief? Did you see the paradox here? I believe. Help me with my unbelief. What? Watch the New Living Translation. I like the way they put it. Watch this. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me to
overcome my unbelief.
I kind of believe, but unbelief is stronger than the belief. So can you help me to overcome the unbelief so that my belief can be established? I know we don't have things like this over here. It's a church down the street. Now, the newly, the backslider translation has it in a crazy way. Love it. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than the father cried, "Then I believe. Help me with my doubts." Some people kind of believe, but they still, I don't know. I'm still feeling that thing here. Do you know somebody that has ever acted like that? I'm sure not you, but you know somebody that has ever acted like that. Huh? If you believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Now let me tell you this. Maybe this will help your faith to kick into gear. If the doctor says that you have a heart problem, huh? And you need to put plastic. I forgot how they call that plastic thing that they put on your heart. Huh? Stent, huh? You ask the doctor, how long does this thing work? You know what he's going to say? Well, it's supposed to work for between five and 10 years. That's it? No, it can open again and put another one. Are you kidding me? This has not been made to be cut off whenever the doctor feels like. So it's guaranteed it will work. No, nothing is guaranteed, Sonny. That's what they're going to tell you. Oh, you need a pacemaker. Okay. If I can sell all that I have, like that woman did, and bring this money, how long am I going to live? 5 years. Say what? 5 years. Maybe 10. And then, got to put another one. This is enough to kick my faith into gear. I don't understand. If they are saying that nothing is guaranteed, but the majority of cases it will work within 5 to 10 years, I will stop eating junk food. I will consecrate whatever days I have left on earth to my God. And guess what? You may live 20 or 30. In 1993, when the butchers told me in Florida that I had 90 days to live, 90 days to live. So I asked, if I would agree for you to cut a piece of my brain, are there any side effects? I said, well, a little bit. Like what? They said you will not be able to see on your right eye. And if you do, it will be blurry. Okay. And you're going to lose the use of your right, of your left hand. It's not eye, left eye. And you're going to lose the use of your right hand. You may most likely have a defective hand. And then you might lose the use of your left leg. I told them, you must be out of your mind. If you think I'm going to allow somebody to cut a piece of my brain and I'm going to be walking like this just to be alive, get real. I said, Doc, let me tell you this. Either my God will come through or I'm going home earlier than I thought. That was 20 years ago. This past June. 20 years ago. And you know what? Last time the doctor checked me up, the aviation doctor, and they took pictures and said, you got a brain of a child. Perfect. Everything is possible to him who believes. Amen. I'll take my chance with God. So he said, no sooner were the words out of his mouth than the father cried out, then I believe, but help me with my doubts. Any times that the doubt kicks in, you lose the miracle. Someone may say, man, Prince, you don't understand. I'm still feeling. Good. Righteous people don't live by feelings. We live by faith. Then he goes on to the next verse, verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. Now, do you understand why I say I rebuke you? Did anybody heard what I said?
Yes.
When I'm praying for you, see, evil spirit, unclean spirit, or spirit of sickness, I bind you and I rebuke you. Why? Because Jesus did so. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Did anybody hear what I just said? When dealing with diseases, and I'll say it again, when dealing with diseases, we rebuke the spirit that is causing the disease, number one. Number two, we command the spirit to get out. And number three, we tell the spirit never to come back again, which would be translated, enter him no more. Now, give me the King James here. I think the King James will say better than this one. It's the same thing. He rebuked the spirit. Huh? Command the spirit, which is here charge, to come out and enter him no more. And this is how you're going to get rid of the cancer, if you ever diagnose with cancer. Let's go back. Let me see the New Living Translation. I didn't want to check because I got so excited. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Step one in getting rid of cancer in your body, if you ever diagnosed with cancer, or any disease for that matter, you rebuke the spirit behind the sickness. Say amen.
Amen.
Step number one. You will rebuke the spirit of sickness. How do I know that? We're going to do that together later. But you would say, spirit of cancer, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and I rebuke you. Huh? And I command you to come out of my body. And never to come back again. Say it with me. Spirit of sickness.
Spirit of sickness.
I rebuke you.
In the name of Jesus.
And I command you.
Out of my body.
And never enter again.
In Jesus' name.
That's how it's done.
Amen.
Does that work?
Yes.
Show verse 26, brother. Watch this. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead. So many said, he's dead. And on verse 27, it's going to say that he was picked up and given back to his father. So what is, how do I go about all this, preacher? You're going to rebuke the spirit. Number two, you're going to command the spirit to get out. And you're going to charge the spirit to come back no more. So in other words, what you're saying, what I'm saying is you're going to talk to the sickness. Now be honest. How many of you here have ever prayed and spoken to the sickness itself? Few people, praise God. Spoke to the sickness, get out.
Amen.
Diabetes, get out.
Amen.
I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. Get out and just stay out. You are not allowed to return. You know? In Florida, when the rain would come, I was living in Florida, I knew the rain was coming 2 or 3 days before the rain came. All the joints were swollen. Pop up. Doctor says, you have rheumatic fever, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, what an idiot am I? Well, I'm putting up with this thing. Went back home. Rheumatic arthritis. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you right now. Get out. And stay out. And you're not allowed to return in the name of Jesus. And I spoke with a vengeance. I hate sickness. And I hate demons even more. Spirit of arthritis, back to the pits of hell. I command you get out and you stay out. And you're not allowed to return ever again. It's now 15 years I don't have arthritis. Let me show you something else. Brother preacher, give me Matthew 21. Let's start on verse 17. So what are the steps to deal with cancer or any other disease? Number one. Rebuke the spirit. Number two. Number three. Never to return. Now listen to this. In Matthew 21:17. Watch this. Then he left them. Jesus left the people in Jerusalem and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. In other words, he overnight in Bethany. Had service in Bethany. And verse 18 says, next morning, now in the morning, as he returned to Jerusalem, he was hungry. The Lord was hungry.
Amen.
The Lord was hungry. I wonder if he's hungry for your worship today.
Amen.
I just wonder. Verse 19 says, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And say to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately, the fig tree withered away. Dried up. Now, I want to present to you some things. Did you know that on the days of old, the fig tree leaves were used to patch diseases? Y'all know that? You're riding a horse and you fell, and then there's a big scratch in there. They would get the fig trees and smash it and then patch it. My mother used to do that to us. We grew up. You know, one time I decided to play smart and I decided to ride a donkey. But the donkey wasn't in a mood to ride with me. It had worked the whole day. So in the afternoon, the animal said, take the donkey to the pasture for me, will you? All right. Can I ride it? I said, sure. So I took the donkey way out there because I have never ridden a donkey, so I don't want to be embarrassed. So I jump on the donkey, come on, and try. And the donkey wouldn't move. Come on, it wouldn't move. So I just get the rope and I twist and I whip the donkey. The donkey just went down. I was so mad at that donkey. You idiot donkey. I just want a little ride. And a kid, you know, I was 11 years old. The donkey wouldn't get up. So finally, I managed to get that thing up. And he wouldn't move. So I went behind, take a stick, and I whipped the donkey. And the donkey just gave me a piece of his mind. I went down. And I hit a stone, and it kind of scratched me. And blood came out. So I tied the lousy donkey, and I left. I managed to come home, and mother said, what happened? I said, I took the donkey to the pasture. The neighbor has to do that, and I tried to ride on it. But it was not on a mood to ride. So it kicked me. She said, did you go behind the donkey? I said, yeah. You don't go behind donkey, dummy. So nobody never told me that. I mean, I'm 11 years old kid. So she pulled me aside. We had a fig tree on the back. She went pick up the fig tree and she smashed it. And then she came and put on the top of it and wrap. Within 3 days, it was sealed. I'm saying this just to make a point in here. Jesus saw the fig tree from far off. And it had leaves on it, which are used to heal. Yet, because he was hungry, he couldn't find nothing but leaves. He spoke to the fig tree, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And immediately, the fig tree withered again. So how can I use this to heal me from cancer? Can I use the fig tree leaves? Try it. But that's not the purpose here. You can look at the cancer and say to the cancer, follow me here, let no one in my family ever, ever, ever be affected by you again.
Amen.
Well, you're just exaggerating. You think so? Let me finish here. Give me verse 19. And seeing... Okay, verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" They are marveling because this thing happened so quick. Verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "For sure, I say to you, if you have..." Why didn't he say feelings? Why didn't he say feelings? Because feelings can't accomplish anything. "And have, and do not doubt. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done." How many times have you heard people with cancer say, "Cancer, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, be thou removed." And it will wither. Verse 22. "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God?
Yes.
Is the Bible written for everybody? So people that has cancer,
all
that they have to do, "Cancer, in the name of Jesus, I command you right now, wither. You will no longer profit from nobody in my family." And it's supposed to disappear. Because it says whatever you and I ask in prayer, believing, we will receive. I know that some people are still, I don't know. Let's look at the same scripture through the eyes of Mark. Brother preacher, can you give me 11:12 in Mark? Mark 11:12. Watch this. "Now, the next day when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry." Verse 13. "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something in it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for figs, but yet it had leaves." Somebody said, well, he had no right to curse the tree because it was not the season. He had the right to do anything because he's the boss of the trees. He created the trees. Likewise, he created demons, principalities, powers, dominion, all has been created to him. And all are subject to him. This is why you'll be able to command the cancer to wither, and it will, because he created everything.
Yes.
Say, what is great demon? Watch this. We're going to come back. Can you put Colossians over there? Colossians 1:12. Watch this. And this is why I'm saying you have to speak to the spirit of sickness. And it has to obey you in the name of Jesus. Colossians 1:12. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." You are a partaker of God. Amen. You are qualified to speak those words and the cancer to obey because God made you a partaker. Amen? Verse 13, watch this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transported us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now watch this. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. He took care of the whole thing. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are a partaker. You are the whole nine yards. And because you are, verse 15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Verse 16, He is the best. For by Him, how many things?
All
things were created that are on earth, whether all things were created through Him and for Him. The cancer came. You're going to speak to the cancer and command the cancer to wither. Why? Because as we saw in the previous scripture, sickness is a spirit. Isn't that right? And then Jesus rebuked the spirit. Isn't that right? And then He commanded the spirit. And then He charged the spirit not to come back. So if by any chance one of us get the cancer, it's time to speak. What its principality, powers, dominions, thrones, whatever garbage that spirit is, you have the power to speak to it. Amen. And that's when it will wither. Let's go back to Mark 11:14. Watch this. In response, after He saw there was no fig, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And His disciples heard it. You can say, let no one of you, spirit of cancer, ever eat one of my family members ever again. You can say, let the spirit of cancer not ever, ever, ever eat my body again.
Amen.
Let's go to verse 20. Why? Because what is in between is not this, it's something else. Verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, what happened? The fig tree dry up from what?
The roots.
Ah. Spirit of cancer and the root cause of it. I command you, dry up. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes.
If you can get that concept, you will never be sick again. If you can grasp that concept, you're going to have fun beating up demons, kicking demons on their butts and their guts, day in and day out.
Amen.
Why? Because they have been created by Jesus and for Jesus. And you and I have been made partakers with God. This is our inheritance. This is our portion.
Amen.
So what you're saying, you're going to speak. And you will see that within 24 hours, the cancer is going to dry up by the root. When I'm praying for sickness, I curse you out by the root. I don't want no root of cancer in me. There was a fellow that used to attend here 8 years ago. And he was a blessing. Let me put it this way. Already died. May the Lord have compassion on him. Hopefully he made it. This man would have come sick. When I came first, full-time, in 2008, this man would be here every 3 months with a different type of cancer. He got healed from pancreatic cancer, then it went to the lungs. Then he got healed from lungs. He goes out there for 3 months, And then it goes now to the liver. He comes again, we pray. He goes, get healed, go out for 3 months, and he comes back now in the spine. Then we pray, go to the brain. Now it's no longer the brain, it's on the ears. Now it's not on the ear. And now I'm thinking, Pastor John, there's something is not adding up here. What do you mean? I said, the cancer is traveling his body. So the root cause has not been killed yet. So I said, well, let's pray and ask God. So we went to see the fellow again. And by this time, I am already fed up. I mean, we drove somewhere close to the People's Republic of Virginia. You know, it's something like 2 hours, Marlboro, something Marlboro. Way out there. It's like 2 hours from here. And then I said, brother, let me ask you a question. Do you practice masonry? Oh, no. You do not practice masonry. No, 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 no. Have you ever been, I can't talk. The wife said, well, let's leave it for now. He cannot talk. Let's give him some rest. Every time he got here, he went back to the lodge. Well, finally, after 3 years, he died. I wasn't called to do the funeral, so thank God, it's one less. It's not my favorite thing in my work, is the funeral. I don't like it. I'm alive. Well, we still went, you know, just to be there. When we get to the place, we were surprised to find out that the Masons were doing the funeral. So, what? And there was a church close by where the daughter and the mother used to go. They came by, they had 10 minutes, and the Masons had 2 hours. And then they said, I could have 2 minutes. And I'm thinking, is this a joke? And I'm looking to her in astonishment and said, what? I'm asking, is this a joke? Said, no. Why would it be a joke? I don't know, because you guys used to come to us. Your husband told me and Pastor John that he was a member of our church. And now I come here, you say that a masonry lodge is doing his funeral. Yeah, you know, he had a lot of friends that were Mason. And? Well, they already took it over. So I went to see, when I look at the coffin, the man is dressed as the 32nd degree Mason with all the medals and the sword and all the garbage. I called my wife in the car, the one with us, let's go. While we're walking out, my wife said, aren't you going to talk to them? I said, no, I don't have to. So when I'm leaving, the wife calls, what happened? Said, we are leaving. Why? I said, I cannot stand on the way of the wicked. I'm not sitting with the scorners. And she's speechless. We walked away. The cancer was traveling because there was a root cause for it. So many times it's good for us to make an analysis and pray and kill, command. You rebuke, you command, and you charge, and you destroy it by the root. Watch this. Brother preacher, give me this thing in the New Living Translation. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. When you are praying for sickness and diseases, when you are praying for cancer, you curse it out of your body. Say amen.
Amen.
What? Yes. When you are praying for any sickness and disease, you curse it out of your body. And when you do that, it will wither and die. Isn't that something? Verse 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. At the end of the day, that's what matters. Watch this, verse 23. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea. Huh? It will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt. I like the way that the New King James puts. And let me show you something here. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says, be thou removed, will be done, he will have. What did he say? Be thou removed. Here is how you're going to pray next time you get a bad diagnosis. Let's say you've been diagnosed with cancer, right? Jesus is saying here, I say to you, whomever says to the cancer, cancer, be thou removed out of my body in the name of Jesus. Believing that it will be removed, Jesus says, he or she will have the cancer removed from their bodies. That is on, he'll have whatever he says. Can I hear an amen here?
Amen.
I told the spirit of poverty, be thou removed from my life once and for all, never to return. Spirit of what? Poverty. When the spirit of poverty is around, it brings it two cousins. Poverty has a cousin by the name of misery and another cousin by the name of wanting. All three of you, get out. Whatever we say that's supposed to happen, it will happen. So how do you deal? How can you get cancer removed from your body? By the root, you rebuke. Number one. Number two, you command to get out, be thou removed from my body. In the name of Jesus. And then you charge it. You're not allowed to return. I'm killing you. I'm cursing you out of my body by the root. I command you to wither and dry and die in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you'll have them. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now let's do the prayer. What have you been told that you have? Brother, can you put verse 23 back there? Jesus says, whoever says to the cancer, be removed and be cast into hell, and does not doubt in his or her heart, but believes that that command that was given will be done, he or she will have whatsoever he or she says. Are we still together here?
Yes.
So I want you to stand up now. And I want you to think about the diagnosis you've been given. If it's not sickness, if it's poverty or misery, then you will say, the spirit of poverty and misery, I command you, be removed and cast into hell. Why not into the sea? Because you may go on a cruise and catch up with that demon again. Amen? Once the spirit of poverty is gone, you may be willing to go on a cruise. And it may happen that you guys will catch up again, and we don't want that to happen. Amen? Let's send them to the pits of hell.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
This is what you're going to do. So whatever it is that you came here searching for, God is a righteous God. You are a partaker on the inheritance of the saints through Christ Jesus. You have been redeemed. You have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Huh? You have been forgiven. Therefore, that qualifies you to use the strategy that Jesus used and never fail. I'm not going to pray the prayer for you because I don't know what you came here looking for. I just know that there are three people here that has been bone disease that will be healed today. Three people with bone disease. I don't know who you are, but I know that three people here with bone disease will be healed. So I want you to tell the demon. I want you to pray just like Jesus prayed. So I'm going to lead you again in a little prayer. And when we come to that point, I'm going to be in silence and I will let you do the rest. If it is cancer, you're going to say, spirit of cancer, be removed and be cast into hell. In the name of Jesus, you're not allowed to return. I curse you out of my body by the root in Jesus' name. You're going to do all that by yourself. Amen?
Amen.
So let's pray. Father God,
Father God,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I thank you
for your word.
I thank you
for all the promises.
And I thank you, Lord,
that I am a partaker
in the inheritance of the saints.
It's something that I have
that you want to give to me. Therefore,
I'm fed up with sickness
and all the diagnosis
that has been placed on my body
by people in the medical fields.
Family members and friends.
And maybe even myself.
Therefore,
I choose to agree with your word.
And I'm going to pray
as the Lord Jesus prayed.
Spirit of
in the name of Jesus.
Be removed from my life.
Be removed in the name of Jesus.
I cast you into the pits of hell.
And I command you.
Return no more.
I charge you.
You cannot come back.
In the name of Jesus.
I curse you out of my body.
I curse you out of my life.
By the root.
In Jesus' name.
And I believe.
Without any doubt in my heart.
It is done.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. We're going to get ready now and take up an offering. We'll take up an offering for the church and also offering for the building fund. All together, yes. Stretch your hands towards the offerings, please. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word that we heard. We thank you, Lord, for your shepherd, the living the word, Lord. Father, we are the sheep of your pastor. Father, we thank you for what you're doing for us. We thank you, Lord, for these funds, that it might bring glory and honor to your name. We thank you, Lord, that these funds will be used as you have called for them to be used in Jesus' name. We thank you for those that was able to give, and we also thank you for those that were not able to give. Lord, we ask that you bless them so next time they'll be able to give also. In Jesus' holy name, we pray, amen. Praise the Lord. I don't see the announcements on this bulletin, so I'll let the pastor give you the announcements for upcoming speakers. Pastor.
Well, we have a power pack month coming ahead of us. This coming Tuesday and Wednesday, Pastor Gaius Furlow from Cameroon will be with us. He went to heaven four times. And the last time he was in heaven, 6 weeks ago, roughly, when he came back, everybody that was on the church that had cancer was healed on the spot. There's paper to prove it, to document. So he's going to be with us Tuesday morning and Wednesday night this coming week. Then, on the first week of September, Tuesday the 10th, 10 o'clock, 10:30, like we have today, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, we're going to have with us Prophet Psalmist Fred Clark. This man is so accurate, that he looked at somebody that used to come here many years ago, and he said, "You're going to abandon your husband." She looked, "This is preposterous." Let it be, she was already hooking up with her boss. And lo and behold, she left her husband 3 months later. Now here's the sad part. The Lord revealed through the man of God, you will contract ovarian cancer. And that will bring you back. She got mad, she got upset, and cussed the man out, she left. Just heard 3 months ago that she has ovarian cancer. She left the lover, and she's trying to reconcile with her husband. That shows you how accurate this guy is. I mean, the guy is on the money. He will minister until midnight, if needed be. If God give him the word, he will be on the money. Last time he was here, he called me aside, and he said, "I hope that you're making preparation." I said, "For? You're going to move." He said, "I know. But it's not going to be far away from here." I said, "No, I know." Then he asked me, "Where are you going to move?" I said, "Next door." And then he joked with me, said, "There's an open field here." I said, "Right now. I don't see an open field. I see a congregation." Amen. He gave me a hug. "You're good. You know you're going to move, right?" I said, "Yes, I do." A few weeks later, we bought the land next door. So that gives you an idea about Fred Clark. The guy is on the money. On the money. So he's going to be Tuesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. You know people in need of a miracle, please bring them. I'm thinking putting a tent out there. You know, put a tent, because it's not going to be enough. The last time he came, we had 150 people packed on that little church over that side. And there are people following him on the internet. So I think I'm going to get a tent and pitch a tent, 250 people out there, so we can have some fun. Amen? That's on the second week of September. Then the week after, Prophetess Lisa Hicks. You know Pepper Lisa, she'll be with us Tuesday morning, Wednesday night. That's the 17th. And then the following week, we're going to have Thurman Scrivener coming on Tuesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He'll be with us. That's September. October, we have not been confirmed yet. Sid cannot find somebody to fill in for him. So we don't know if he will come, but he said, just don't give up yet. We might have Sid Roth come with us in October. November, I plan to have inauguration, if the Lord allows.
Amen.
And I'm thinking that we're going to have inauguration because the Lord told us that Rancagnoli was the kickstart of the celebration time, right?
Yeah.
For 90 days. So July 31st, August, September, October, which puts us on the first week of November for inauguration. So I'm just wondering if maybe that's inauguration week. I told you from the get-go that at inauguration week, we want to have several high-power speakers and also some singers. Well, we tried to get Brother Terry McCallman. Do you have that thing ready? This guy here. We all know this. You will see, you know who I'm talking about. Watch this. That's the guy that's coming. I couldn't get him until next year.
You will be exalted. You will have a people of praise. You will have a passionate bride.
Have you ever sang this song? Ask him to sing this song. I want him to sing that song. Oh God,
that's why we came tonight.
For your name is great and greatly to be praised. You can slow it down, just let it play, but Terry McCallum will be with us November the 7th, Friday, 7 o'clock. We tried to book him this year. He was booked up for the next 3 years. So the secretary called me and says, "Preacher, he's going to be doing a concert in Frederick. Is it close to you?" I said, "An hour away." "Well, then we could put him in if you want." I said, "When?" "November." "I'll take it."